Welcome to Reclaiming the Republic. This show is sponsored by Mobius Strip Press. I am G.R. Mobley. If you go to my site, reclaimingtherepublic.org, you will have access to my content and support documents and links. This is an educational grassroots program leading in restoring the Republic and placing the federal government back into the scope and framework of the Constitution once again. And welcome back. I hope you had a great weekend, those of you who survived it. Obviously you did, because you are engaging in life, and at least you're engaging in this show. So let me just kind of plow forward. I, as I told you last week, I have a special Memorial Day presentation, or actually it's not really a presentation. It's a story about World War II. But it's something that I want to use to help put Memorial Day in perspective, as well as the dangerous indictment regarding political correctness in today's society. And just to kind of give you what I think is a very important perspective. So anyway, before I go into some of the other things that I want to talk about, let me at least tell you this. This show is also sponsored by ReclaimingTheRepublic.org as well as RepublicReview.org, and that you are listening to the only show that will provide and is providing the only solution in getting the federal government back into compliance to the Constitution. And so with that, the listen number, I noticed that more people are actually using the listen number because, you know, sometimes on the West Coast, some people have to call instead of streaming because some of their employers don't necessarily like their employees streaming while they're working. So I will just say 605-562-4209 is the secret number you need so that you can actually catch your favorite Red State talk radio shows like Reclaiming the Republic. Now let me jump into some of these other topics that I want to, I'm looking forward to diving into. One, I'm going to get into probably a historical perspective regarding economic warfare. I believe that if you want to avoid, and this was Madison's perspective, if you wanted to avoid warfare, the best thing you can do is to create economic barriers between yourself and your enemies, or those who are hostile, and create barriers. Now, the problem is that we have had a hostile nation since the revolution, the communist revolution in China. They have been a hostile nation towards liberty. They've never once been the champion of liberty. They have zero credibility in the world or on the stage of liberty within the world. As a matter of fact, everything that they're doing, from live organ harvesting, the social credit system, and everything else, only proves that they have zero, zero respect for individual liberty. And so what I believe we should have been doing, and as a matter of fact, I'll probably even bring in the Cleon Skousen's 45 goals, because one of the things that back in the 40s and 50s, America was not doing trade with hostile nations. And one of the things that they wanted to do was they wanted to change that. The reason being is that we provide a lot of economic benefits for other nations. And so if you look at where China is today, China is in the role of becoming a true superpower because America has been subsidizing the Chinese Communist Party and communism around the world, not just China. I've been telling you this for a long time. We have to stop subsidizing socialism and communism. We have to start having a, I'll just call it a fair trade or fair impost against all nations, especially hostile nations. There has to be a heavy price doing any kind of business with a hostile nation towards hostility towards liberty. So with that, I will probably do a special show, because this is only going to grow. this story will grow legs. But it's not going anywhere. It's going to take a long time to move from this point to from point A to point B. So I will I'll try to come up with a good historic perspective so that you can understand this. I think one of the things that America, I'm just going to throw this out here, is one of the solutions that I would suggest is that if you haven't understood, there have been a lot of Chinese that have come to America to have babies. Every single one of these babies should be revoked their citizenship, and all Chinese have tried to exploit the improper, I'll just call it an interpretation by the court because that's what it was, go back to the actual dialogue between Congress in the Congressional Globe, and you will find that there was no intent in just creating a system so that if somebody could just get to our shore and have a baby, that baby becomes a citizen. As we've gone over this several times, that baby and the parents are subject to another sovereign, which is China, which is Mexico, which means that they cannot be citizens. And so the smartest thing Trump could do is go through the hundreds of thousands, if not millions, of Chinese that have snuck over here and have become citizens, revoke their citizenship, and just tell them, did you want us to charter a boat to send you back, or did you want to get to take care of your own arrangements because you're going home? I think that starts to send a message because China is already, and as a matter of fact, the other thing that they need to do, and this is just a no-brainer, the Trump administration needs to inform Apple and every other company that Google, all of them that are loving the fact that they're over there making millions of dollars and getting involved in some very dark technology. I think the important thing is that the Trump administration sends the signal to them to say, you are done. And if you continue, we will start actually punishing you. And there you have it. Because we should never have gotten into bed with China. We should never have gotten into bed in subsidizing any form of communism or any form of oppressive dynasties, oppressive governments, oppressive dictators, whatever you want to call it. I mean, it's tantamount to supporting Hitler or Stalin, Mao, or the rest of them. And nothing's changed in China. Why in the heck did we all of a sudden give them the most favored nation status, other than the fact that Mr. Globalist President Nixon, who's a huge globalist, opened that door for us. Nixon did a lot of damage, just like Johnson did a lot of damage. See, it's not just about Republicans or Democrats. They're both doing damage to us. It is only those Republicans that I find in our Constitutional Party, Libertarian. There are other parties, but the establishment within the Republican Party, Kissinger and those types of people, are trying to sell us downriver. They're trying to get us into the global elite alignment so that America becomes subjugated along with all of the rest of the countries. And, you know, they may try to sell it that, oh, you know what, America is going to be the chief country in China. No, don't believe anything that any... If you want to know how you can tell if these global elitists are lying to you, because I've got a secret recipe for you. If their lips are moving and they're actually saying something, they're lying to you. There you go. That's how you know if a global elitist is lying. When they start talking, they're lying. And so let's jump forward a little bit and let me get into a little groveling. We need your help. We'd be humbled by any type of assistance or leadership that you can lend. Please get involved. We want you to become a leader in your county and state. Become the champion for the audit. Become the champion for actually forcing the federal government into compliance. Become that Jefferson of 1798 right now in 2019, in 2020, and 2021. Begin now in becoming the champion for individual liberty and individual sovereignty and getting the federal government out of every nuance of our lives. So by doing that, the best way you can do that is send us an email, info@reclaimingtherepublic.org. Another way you can support us is go and if you drink your coffee, and there's a new study out that if you drink like 20 some odd cups of coffee, it's okay. And there you have it. Go get yourself some Red State coffee and drink about 20 some cups of this a day. It's really good coffee. And I'm waiting to get some feedback from some of you listeners that have actually tried it. Please, by all means, give us a call. And as a matter of fact, I'm going to start using this line as the comment line. And so if you're ready to copy, we've got a line for you. It's 425-270-5416. If you want to make a comment, by all means, just call that number and voila, you'll be able to get your comments regarding the show or your comments regarding the quality of Red State Coffee or anything else if you want to just sound off. Just remember that civility is key. There's no way I'm going to play anything that is not at least civil. And with that, I also told you about a week ago that a Mike Johnson is working on some financial things. I might not have mentioned this, but I'm just absolutely hoping that we can get, because he's out in D.C., and I'm hoping that he can get with some other organizations with us in getting getting some philanthropic organizations and seeding some money to us so that we can actually be infused. So if you believe in the power of prayer, you can pray for us as well. And when we come back, we'll have a few other ways you can get involved. So please stay tuned. We'll be right back after this. Thank you so much. Have you taken the time to watch our presentation on YouTube that provided an irrefutable argument of what we have to do to save our Constitution and our Republic? I know it's over an hour and 30 minutes, but you only need to watch the first 30 minutes. If you take the time to watch this presentation, I promise it will change your paradigm regarding what our Constitution is and what we have to do if we are going to save it, our liberties, our sovereignty, and our Republic. We already have answers to most of the questions that you might think of after watching this presentation, and we want to help you get to a point where you have a profound understanding of the audit and republic review process. This is why our bullet overview and flowchart of both the argument and process is available on reclaimingtherepublic.org. The sooner you get informed, the sooner you can get involved and make an impact. So go to reclaimingtherepublic.org to the Take Action page. That's where you'll find the video. Thank you so much. If you've listened to my show, Reclaiming the Republic, then you should understand that the Constitution is neither a living document nor a noble guide to governance. In accordance to Article 7, the Constitution is a hard, fast contract, and the states are the only stakeholders in this contract. Integral in contract law, the stakeholders or states possess the inherent authority to exercise oversight and enforcement over their contract. This means they can audit the federal government by the contract, and with republic review, they can enforce compliance to their constitution. Any single state can perform the audit, but when states begin to unite in the auditing process, this is what is referred to as republic review. Please read my argument for republic review as well as my description of the republic review model on reclaimingtherepublic.org. We even have a graphic flowchart that shows you how republic review works. If you want to learn more, contact me on Facebook or send me an email. Thank you. Okay, so the number to dial in is 215-TOP-TALK or 215-867-8255. Do not forget my three C's when you dial in. And let's get on with the dialogue. And so let me just kind of wrap up the ways you can support us. Of course, we have the social, or I should say the crowdfunding on GoFundMe. But more importantly, we're really looking for people to get involved in leadership. So one way you can do that is sending us an email, like I said, info@reclaimingtherepublic.org. And another way you can get involved is by going to constitutionclub.ning.com and sign up there. That is one way you can get down into a tactical level in your community, in your county, in your state, and so forth, and start working with other people as well as us. Because good old Keith Broders and those good folks at the Constitution Club, they are working with us. They're huge supporters of Republic Review. And so that's two ways you can actually become actively involved, because that's what we need. We need people. And if you don't have the time and you just want to support one way or another and you don't know how to do that, just send us an email again, info@reclaimingtherepublic.org. You'll probably find that you do have a little bit of time. You can get involved. And the more you get involved, probably the more you'll get addicted to doing this type of stuff, because it is pretty addictive. The other thing I would tell you, if you want to help, you want to support something that I think is a good cause, and I've told you this before, ourfirstright.org. Go check them out and help get a movement in your state and it shouldn't take long. This is a no-brainer. Your state representative should recognize the opportunity that they would have in becoming a congressional member if they would only ratify that, and it would create a huge surge in opportunities in public service. So with that, let me also ask you that if you've got something cooking for Constitution Day, let us know. We want to hear about it, because we'd like to know that there are more people elevating the constitutional awareness in the community, which would be you. So send us an email, info@reclaimingtherepublic.org, to let us know what you're doing for Constitution Day. I haven't said this in a while, and boy, over the weekend, I sure was thinking this. I want to thank you for your patronage in tuning in, listening, and taking the time to hear what we have to say. That is one way of getting involved. More importantly, the one way you can really get involved by listening in is sharing the content, sharing the message, and letting people know, hey, there is an alternative. It's not just about entertainment anymore. It's actually about solutions, and that's what we want to talk about. And as I looked through the news, even though there is a plethora of things that are going on, I'm here to tell you that the federal government is not, and there is no sign, there is no intent, and even if Trump knew, I don't think he would be able to successfully dismantle any part of the unconstitutional roles, responsibilities, and powers. The swamp of the deep state is way too entrenched. They're not going to get rid of the Department of Education. Quit dreaming about it. Even if they did to a point where it seems like it's gone or gone far enough that it's no longer a problem, you just got to wait till the 2024 election for the next person to come along and say, well, that was a huge mistake. We're bringing it back. And that's how easy it is. They have no authority to create it, just like they have no authority to get rid of it. Only the states can keep and maintain those boundaries to say, you can't do this, so don't even think about it. Put it back. Anyway, let me kind of move forward. This week, this coming Friday, Saturday, and Sunday is Red Pill Expo. I'm here to tell you that you want to get involved. So it's not too late to sign up for your streaming. It may be a little late. You might still be able to get your tickets. Go to Red Pill Expo. I think it's .net. Just Google Red Pill Expo and you can find DuckDuckGo. It actually, bad habit to say Google. Anyway, go get involved. This is a great place, especially for you on the Eastern Seaboard. There you go. You've got a great Red Pill opportunity. Now, let me just say this. I know that there's a lot of people. There's a lot of hyperbole, as how some people like to refer to it, or hyperbolic rhetoric going on about Trump's impeachment, especially in the mainstream media. And I'm telling you, that's just another one of those things that is going to be a vampire of your time. Don't allow the talks to suck up your time, okay? As liberals ignore news that is not reported on mainstream media, in other words, they just don't believe it unless it's on CNN, and there's far, far, There's not a lot of liberals out there that are believing in mainstream media anymore anyway, because they've had their bubbles popped a lot of times. Like, you know, the whole way the Mueller investigation, there was collusion, there was all this evidence, and then all of a sudden it's not. So there's lots of people that have been disenfranchised, or at least their bubbles have been popped regarding the mainstream media. Conservatives need to ignore the news being chanted and parroted on the mainstream media channels. So just don't worry about it. Even though Fox is parroting those same things, just start tuning that stuff off. You know, you're far better off not even wasting your time listening to the news anymore, and start getting educated, start getting smart. Understand the Constitution. The best thing you can do for your country and yourself, your community, and everything else is start to understand the Constitution. It is not rocket science. You probably have a job that is far more difficult than trying to understand the Constitution, because it's very easy if you understand contracts. That's all it is. It is a compact amongst the states, and the states delegated very specific powers. That's it. So get to know what those powers are, where those limitations are, and that there's no leap, zero leap in the ability for the federal government to create powers for itself, whether that be healthcare, energy, education, and housing, so forth. And so that's one of the reasons why we are going to get into the cod fishery bill again this week. It's been a while since we've read that, but I want to emphasize Madison's lesson he schooled Congress on the dangers of these concepts of trying to self-aggrandize the government by using clauses outside the context of those clauses. So we will get into that this week, I promise. I also say, and if you haven't noticed, there is a critical First Amendment case that SCOTUS is refusing to take. And this is one about, I think it was Act for America was running a ad, and I think they got sued by CARE or some other group. But anyway, it's about the Prophet Muhammad. And the First Amendment is refusing to take this. This is, or I should say SCOTUS. SCOTUS is first refusing. And this is the quintessential definition of one's rights of expression and so forth. And so I would ask that you get involved at least on something like this and start understanding what the First Amendment really means, and start reading some really good papers and articles, essays, or what have you. One of the best essays you can read is Madison's essay on property, because he talks about our expressions are our property, and we have property in our rights and rights in our property. And you need to read that, because he's talking about these very same things of political speech, religious expression, and those types of things. Those are our most dear and most precious properties that we possess. And the Supreme Court, and as we see, Congress is even trying to go after any type of what's considered hate speech. We cannot have that here. I know that there's a lot of hypersensitive people moving to America in a refugee type of status, because it's obvious that those who are Islamic are super sensitive regarding, you know, any type of words or anything about any criticism about their religion. I mean, okay, well, America, we have this thing called freedom of speech, and so maybe you shouldn't move here, because you're going to get offended, and you have a right to be offended, but you don't have a right to do anything about it. You don't. Other than you can say anything you want to say. But the problem is that they tend to go a little bit too far and cut people's heads off and, you know, kill them and attack them and those types of things. And there's no room for that here in America. One other thing, I kind of stumbled into this, but I want to give you a historical look, kind of tying these two things together here. I want to give you a historical look at the origins of, I'm going to probably mispronounce this, but I believe it's Baphomet. And Baphomet is the image of a goat's head on a man and what have you. And it came from I'll tell you, it came from about the 10th century to the 12th century, somewhere in there. I want to give you some history on this and why this is important. And I'm all so today's message, let me get into this. Today's message is about Memorial Day and a story that actually took place. And I'm hoping that this really places context into heroes. What is a real hero? And why society needs to start maintaining some credibility to a real hero. Because in today's political correctness, we have gone way too far down this path of everybody being a hero. And so this is an email a friend of mine sent me that that he received from somebody that went to Washington, D.C. And on their tour, they got a really good detailed explanation of the Iwo Jima Memorial right there in Washington, D.C. by one of the sons of one of those men in that memorial depiction. And so when we come back, I'm going to give you the story for this, and I think you'll find this fascinating. So please stay tuned, and we'll be right back after these two promos. Thank you so much. Folks, I'm constantly providing you with case after case and giving you both the empirical information as well as irrefutable academic evidence that the federal government is operating well outside the bounds of the Constitution. In measuring outlays, the federal government is spending over 80% of your tax dollars on unconstitutional government. This is why we don't need a balanced budget amendment. We just need to enforce the Constitution. So what is it going to take for you to take a stand in getting the federal government back into the framework of the Constitution? To be clear, the solution is simple and does not require much work on any one individual, especially if everyone contributed to the effort. We only ask that you make a commitment today to contributing however you can and make the difference necessary for our posterity's sake. Send me an email at info@reclaimingtherepublic.org. And let me know how you'd like to help so we can help you save our republic. To become a citizen, one must take an oath to support and defend the Constitution. Those of us who are naturally born citizens are obligated and duty-bound to fulfill the same oath even though we're not required to take it because it is implied upon us at birth. This is why I cannot emphasize enough the importance in supporting businesses who are supporting our Constitution. We have to stop supporting businesses that have chosen to hide behind political correctness, and obviously we must stop supporting progressive businesses who are working to undermine our republic and our Constitution. Do not let businesses or organizations convince you that they are supporting the Constitution by supporting protests for social justice. By definition, social justice is the distribution of wealth, opportunities, and privileges within a society. In other words, they're calling for socialism, which is incompatible with individual liberty and individual sovereignty and our Constitution. With that, please consider supporting businesses who advertise on this show and this radio station.
That number to dial in is 215-TOP-TALK, 215-867-8255. And again, don't forget those three C's. And if you're ready to call in, the lines are open.
Okay, so I'm actually going to read this as the storyteller, but obviously there's a gentleman who is introducing himself kind of in this story. And hopefully I can get through this. This is kind of a real touching story. But it's one that I think really puts, it nails why and what we need to be doing for our Memorial Day. I can't tell you how sacred it is for the sacrifice of blood that goes on when people go fight a war for liberty. And so even though we've had plenty of wars that had a lot of political undertones and other designs by politicians and so forth, those who went to do the fight went on the pretense, went on the foundation that people needed to be saved from tyranny, people needed to have their liberty secured, and people were willing to give the ultimate sacrifice for others, okay? And so let me just jump into the story. and I am now the storyteller here. Each year, I am hired to go to Washington, D.C. with the eighth grader class from Clinton, Wisconsin, where I grew up, to videotape their trip. I greatly enjoy visiting our nation's capital, and each year I take some special memories back with me. This fall's trip was especially memorable. On our last trip, we stopped at the Iwo Jima Memorial. This memorial is the largest bronze statue in the world and depicts one of the most famous photographs in history. And as if you understand the story behind the photograph, that photograph was really a remake, and most of the people in the photograph, as I understand it, weren't really the guys that actually were the ones that originally planted the flag. They had to kind of go back up and do this later. But I believe they captured the essence of those guys and kind of documented who those original guys were that planted that flag as they kind of corrected the history for this memorial. But anyway, it depicts one of the most famous photographs in history, that of the six brave soldiers, and actually these weren't soldiers, these were Marines, raising the American flag at the top of a rocky hill on the island of Iwo Jima, Japan, during World War II. Over 100 students and chaperones piled off the bus and headed towards the memorial. I noticed a solitary figure at the base of the statue, and as I got closer, he asked, "Where are you guys from?" I told him that we were from Wisconsin. "Hey, I'm a cheesehead too. Come gather around, cheeseheads, and I will tell you a story." And so he goes on and he says, it was James Bradley who had just happened to be in Washington, D.C. to speak at the memorial the following day. He was there that night to say goodnight to his dad, who had passed away. He was just about to leave when he saw the buses pulled up. I videotaped him as he spoke to us and received his permission to share what he said from my videotape. It is one thing to tour the incredible monuments filled with history in Washington, D.C., but it's quite another to get the kind of insight we received that night. When all had gathered around, he reverently began to speak. Here are the words that night. "My name is James Bradley, and I'm from Antigo, Wisconsin. My dad is on that statue, and I wrote a book called Flags of Our Fathers. It is the story of the six boys you see behind me. Six boys raised the flag. The first guy putting the pole in the ground is Harlan Block. Harlan was an all-state football player. He enlisted in the Marine Corps with all the senior members of his football team. They were off to play another type of game, a game called war. But it didn't turn out to be a game. Harlan, at the age of 21, died with his intestines in his hands. I don't say that to gross you out. I say that because there are people who stand in front of this statue and talk about the glory of war. You guys need to know that most of the boys in Iwo Jima were 17, 18, and 19 years old, and it was so hard that the ones who did make it home never even would talk to their families about it." That's a historical fact. I have a grandfather who passed away, and he would never talk about his World War II experiences until the very end, and I was actually able to capture some of his comments and some of the things that he experienced as a bombardier pilot, both in the European theater and in the Japanese theater, and he's one of the very few that fought in both theaters in World War II. So anyway, he pointed to the statue and he says, "You see this guy, this next guy? That's Rene Gagnon from New Hampshire. If you took Rene's helmet off at the moment this photo was taken, it looked like the webbing of that helmet. You would find a photograph of his girlfriend, Rene, put that in there for protection because he was scared. He was 18 years old. It was just boys who won the Battle of Iwo Jima, boys, not old men. The next guy there, the third guy in this tableau, was Sergeant Mike Strank. Mike is my hero. He was the hero of all of these guys. They called him the old man because he was so old, he was already 24. Called him the old man. When Mike would motivate his boys in training camp, he didn't say, let's go kill some Japanese or let's die for our country. He knew what was he was talking to little boys. And instead he said, you do what I say and I'll get you home to your mothers. And that was pretty motivating for those guys, I'm sure. The last guy on this side of the statue is Ira Hayes, a Pima Indian from Arizona. Ira Hayes was one of them who lived to walk off Iwo Jima. He went into the White House with my dad. President Truman told him, you're a hero. He told reporters, how can I feel like a hero when 250 of my buddies hit the island with me and only 27 of us walked off alive. So you can take your class at school of 250 of you spending a year together, having fun and doing everything together. Then all 250 of you hit a beach, but only 27 of your classmates walk off alive. That was Ira Hayes. He had images of horror in his mind. Ira Hayes carried the pain home with him and eventually died dead drunk, face down, drowned in a very shallow puddle at the age of 32, 10 years after this picture was taken. So apparently he had a hard time living with the memories of war. The next guy going around the statue is Franklin Sousley from Hilltop, Kentucky, a fun-loving hillbilly boy. His best friend, who is now 70, told me, yeah, you know, we took two cows on the porch of a Hilltop General Store. Then we strung wire around the stairs so the cows couldn't get down. Then we fed them Epsom salts. Those cows crapped all night. Yes, it was a fun-loving hillbilly boy. Franklin died on Iwo Jima at the age of 19. When the telegram came home to tell his mother he was dead, it went to the Hilltop General Store. A barefoot boy ran the telegram up to his mother's farm. The neighbors could hear her scream all night and into the morning. And those neighbors lived a quarter mile away, which is a couple thousand feet, or definitely over 1,000 feet. The next guy, as we continued to go around the statue, is my dad, John Bradley, from Antigo, Wisconsin, where I was raised. My dad lived until 1994, but he would never give interviews. When Walter Cronkite's producer for the New York Times would call, he would train us kids to say, no, I'm sorry, sir, my dad's not here. He's in Canada fishing. No, there's no phone there, sir. No, we don't know when he'll be back. My dad never fished or even went to Canada. Usually he was sitting there right at the table eating his Campbell's soup. But we didn't. But we had to tell the press that he was out fishing. He didn't want to talk to the press, just like Trump. You see, like Ira Hayes, my dad didn't see himself as a hero. Everyone thinks these guys are heroes because they are in a photo on a monument. My dad knew better. He was a medic. He was the medic. And John Bradley from Wisconsin was a combat caregiver. On Iwo Jima, he probably held over 200 boys as they died. And when boys died on Iwo Jima, they writhed and screamed without any medication or help from the pain. Unlike today, we have all sorts of medical assistance and all sorts of medical tools right there on the battlefield. But back then, they didn't have hardly anything. When I was a boy, my third grade teacher told me that my dad was a hero. When I went home, I told my dad that. He looked at me and said, I want you to always remember that the heroes of Iwo Jima are the guys who did not come back. They did not come back. So that's the story about six nice young boys 3 died on Iwo Jima, and 3 came back as national heroes. Overall, 7,000 boys died on Iwo Jima in the worst battle in the history of the Marine Corps. My voice is giving out, so I'll end there. Thank you for your time. And so when we come back, I'm going to tell you the back end on this story because it's not over yet. And then we'll move on to some other thoughts of mine. And so we'll be right back after these two promos. Thank you so much. Folks, Red State Talk Radio has brought back its monthly newsletter. I know everyone gets a lot of emails, but this is not a daily or weekly newsletter. It's a monthly newsletter. So you will not be overwhelmed with a plethora of emails from Red State Talk Radio. Come on, it's only once a month. I'll be contributing a constitutional perspective to one of the current issues to help everyone see an alternative perspective, or what I believe would be a framer's perspective regarding the issue to help us maintain a constitutional paradigm. I will also provide information regarding a significant historical context to the time of year so that we can remember our history, so we will not be doomed to repeat the inevitable failings from forgetting our past and origins. Just go to Red State Talk Radio and sign up for the newsletter. This way you can get a focused view of what is going on in the Republic as well as what is going on at Red State Talk Radio. Thank you. To set the record straight, Republic Review is neither an Article 5 convention nor a convention of states. In accordance with Article 5 of the Constitution, this convention requires 2/3 of the states to apply to Congress to convene a convention with the intent to amend the Constitution. This convention is unable to solve our real problem, which is non-compliance to the Constitution, and would be dangerous to convene at this time. In contrast, Republic Review is the process of the states exerting its constitutional authority over the Constitution. An audit does not require an application to Congress. This authority is inherent to principal stakeholders of a contract. Why do we need Republic Review? Because this is the only way the states can deal with the federal encroachments into roles, responsibilities, and powers that belong to the states. To learn more about Republic Review, please go to reclaimingtherepublic.org to read my content and my model on the audit and Republic Review process.
Okay, if you want to join in on the dialogue, you need to call 215-TOP-TALK. That's 215-867-8255.
Suddenly, and I'm getting back into the story here, this is the gentleman that was the chaperone that went out every year from Clinton, Wisconsin, telling the story. And he said, suddenly, the monument wasn't just a big piece of metal with a flag sticking out of the top. It came to life before our very eyes with the heartfelt words of a son who did indeed have a father who I believe was a hero. Maybe not a hero for the reasons most people would believe, but a hero nonetheless. One thing I learned while on tour with my 8th grade students in D.C. that is not mentioned here, that is, if you look at the statue very, very close and you count the number of hands on that pole raising the flag, you will count 13. When the man who made the statue was asked why there were 13, he simply said that the 13th hand was God. And so that gives you some better insight. And like I was saying, and I wanted to start off this, as I did start this off in the first segment, in today's world of political correctness, it seems that everyone deserves a star. And in the light, or in that light, anyone who dons a uniform is a hero. This is an indictment of our society and how political correctness has eroded the true honor, humility, and integrity of a person's character. Most men of that day and age did not come back telling people that they were heroes. They all knew that those who gave the ultimate sacrifice were truly the heroes, and they were humble enough to know that. And so something has happened that we have just completely lost And whether you want to call it eroded or whether it's been engineered, something has happened to our society that we have truly lost what these meanings are. If you simply wear a uniform and feel the need to be called a hero, I'm here to tell you, you need a real gut check. Heroes are those in extreme danger and accept their responsibility when it is their turn to take point. And if you don't understand what point is, it's the guy that actually leads the platoon or your squad as you're going through a dangerous area of enemy. Or they do a selfless act to save others. Now today, because of technology, medical things, and so forth, in the old days, a lot of those guys just died. There was no saving them. But I will tell you that we do have heroes in our midst today because of the miracle advancements, or I should say the technological advancements and some of the miracles that happen on the battlefield, that by the grace of God, their lives are saved after making such a sacrifice. I am sure that if you talk and find any injured veteran and you ask them, do they see themselves as a hero? A lot of these guys got hit in IED attacks and some things like that, where they were, it's not like they did anything heroic to get injured or where people died and so forth because a bomb hit them. And I'm here to tell you that most of these guys probably would recognize the fact that they weren't a hero. They were just in the wrong spot at the wrong time. But my fear is that because of the social engineering, humility is a rare character trait today. And so one of the things I kind of want to really, take a pause here. And I think it's time that we actually start looking at some of the different problems, or I should say not problems, but the paradigm problem that I'm perceiving that I've been trying to convey since last week. If you remember on Memorial Day, I made notice that there were far few people that could get up and recount individual experiences or families or what have you that were able to stand up and talk about, the loss of a loved one. Because you remember, Memorial Day is about the lost, those who gave the ultimate sacrifice, not those who gave some. It's for those who gave all. Those of us who survived because of the grace of God or medical advancements or what have you, we're here. We've got a different day, and it's called Veterans Day. And as a matter of fact, most of us really don't even care. I don't know. I mean, I guess there's people that really enjoy Veterans Day and celebrating their service. And I'm not going to fault anybody for that. But Memorial Day is a very sacred day. And as we understand the philosophy of a Judeo-Christian nation, we know that the blood sacrifice is a holy one. And so it's sanctified. This nation was sanctified twice. It was sanctified by the Revolutionary War that ended in the Treaty of Ghent by Madison. I tell people that the Revolutionary War did not end in 1783. It actually ended in, 1814 or 1815, whenever the Treaty of Ghent was signed. I forget the year. Because the British government never recognized America as a true sovereign nation. Even though King George made the treaty to state that, they were waiting in the winds to yank us back and to teach us a very harsh lesson. And so the fact is that we sanctified this nation, and I believe that's why the Lord blessed us, and he blessed us again after the Civil War. The problem is as soon as we've done these great sacrifices, it seems that there's men that come along with avarice and machinations to do bad, and they happen to show up just at the wrong time to be able to have bad effects. And so, as you've heard many people talk about after the Civil War, how Congress and other people created U.S. corporations unconstitutionally. Bottom line is they're unconstitutional, and those corporations will fall like cards in a house of cards with all of the rest of the cards in that house of cards that are all unconstitutional, from unconstitutional roles, responsibilities, and powers, as well as unconstitutional verdicts from the courts. Anything that the federal government had no jurisdiction or has no power to do, or power delegated to them that they're exercising, created, or anything, and there's a pile of it, my friends, all of those things are unconstitutional. And when the right wind blows from Republic Review, those cards will fall just like cards in a house of cards. And that's what we're dealing with here. We're not dealing with a true structure. They have no base. They have no standing in our government based on our Constitution. But anyway, let me get back to these heroes. Many times, as a veteran, because it's not just that. It's not just these heroes and Memorial Day. I want you next year for Memorial Day to really try to honor those who gave all, not those who gave some. And when you hear people in this past year, and I'm only picking on Jason Chaffetz, it's the former congressman, because he kind of broadened the whole perspective of veterans and those who've died and I'm going, no, Memorial Day is only about those people those men and or women who gave all in the service of their country, in the service of liberty. And so we need to keep that perspective. And so when you hear people make those comments next year, just keep that perspective and point out to them, I think you've got it wrong. You need to go look at the history of Memorial Day, because it is not about those who gave. It is about those who gave all. Because there's lots of us who gave, but there's only a few that gave all. And so the other thing that I wanted to also mention at this, because I think it goes hand in hand. As I attend events, whether it's a sporting event, whether it's a Republican event, Lincoln Day dinner or anything like that, whenever I attend events, and you've probably seen this, they ask the veterans to take a stand so that they can applaud us. What an insult. If you want to thank us, then why don't you place a little bit of effort and time in trying to ensure that veterans' needs are being taken care of. We don't care about the applause. We don't care about the public recognition. And it may make you feel good to, show people what a great patriot you are in having this time, taking a little bit of time and recognizing the veterans in the room. The best thing you could do is actually say, we want to donate this amount of money or half of our proceeds from this dinner to the veterans, the local veterans home, or how you are working over veterans issues and helping these veterans who need help. Don't placate us. It's an absolute insult, and I really don't like, and people look at me, you need to stand. And I feel like a monkey. Don't do this anymore. If you want to thank veterans, then put your money where your mouth is. And to me, again, it really looks more like an opportunity to self-aggrandize one's position, at the microphone to show what a great patriot you are for honoring veterans. If you want to honor us, put your money where your mouth is. I'm G.R. Mobley. We're reclaiming the Republic, and we need your help. God bless.
I've been on the radio for a couple of years, and for over a decade, I have been providing content to help patriots understand what has to be done if we're going to save our Constitution and our Republic. Not one academic has been able to refute my argument for Republic Review, and even most conservative entertainers will not support Republic Review due to self-interest reasons. If you have not read my bullet point descriptions and executive summaries, you need to, so that you can understand what we all need to do. I am trying to give patriots the necessary knowledge to take back our Constitution and Republic. Go to reclaimingtherepublic.org so you can read my bullet points and view the Republic Review flowchart. You can even order my executive summaries, books, and other content to understand the simplicity of what we have to do. This way, you will know what, why, and how to support the reclaiming of our Republic. Again, please take a look at my content on reclaimingtherepublic.org so you can become a part of the solution.